So come on, just for a minute, let's just let the house of God light up for God. Come on, let's just worship him. Yeah. Because he's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with praising him. Amen. And I know that there are different ways to worship him, but that's just one way we can shabak him. Amen. Just giving him all the praise and giving him all the honor. I don't think I'll be before you long today. I'm telling you, I was down in that sun for 12 hours yesterday. Amen. But experience some great things. Experience some great things. Amen. And I just want to talk to you today about it's working for your good. It's working for your good. It's a providential plan that any and everything that happens in your life is working for your good. You know, especially when you're working in the providential plan of God, in his purpose, is working for your good. Sometimes we do some things that's out of the will of God. We have to get back in the will. We have to be forgiven of our sins, and we could then continue to work or walk according to which he has already called us. So what that means is sometimes we can mess up, but we have to line ourselves back up with him in order for that plan to continue to manifest. We're going to talk about Joseph. See, when Joseph had a problem in his life, everything that he did was based on the image of Christ. And if you look at his life, it's sort of like a story that of Christ's life. It's a prelude of what was to come. Because they cast lots for his coat. He was sold. His family betrayed him. People were against him. Many people lied on him. Seemed like he was an outcast. It seemed like nothing was working for his good. But in all actuality, everything that was happening in his life was preparing him for a place that God had him. And the same thing happened with Jesus. And oh, by the way, the same thing happens in our lives. As we're walking according to God's plan, no matter what's going on in your life, people are going to mistreat you. They're going to treat you right. They're going to treat you wrong. They're going to treat you right as well. But they're going to do all these things against you. But I'm here to tell you, focus on what God has for you. I want to give this testimony of what happened last night to me and my kids. You know I love my kids. And I love you all. But as we were parking cars, and I'll pray and we'll give the sermon, because we were parking cars. I had one white student. Now, granted, Kenan is a 99% probably African-American school. But I had one, I got the two Caucasian kids in my program. One of them came out to help us park cars. And as we were parking the cars, we made X amount of money. We went around the back of Olympia, the alternative school down there, the Learning Center off of Bluff Road, and we were parking cars in the back. Now, as I lined my kids up along the road to have them direct people to the gate where we were parking cars, there were a bunch of white guys. And they started saying things to my kids. You know, and I told my kids, don't say nothing. You know, long story short, they said some things. They were, as my people were coming back there to park, the guys were saying, we're charging $15, but my signs clearly said 10. You know, then they're saying, you know, we don't need to come over there. That's public property, this, that, and the other way. Yeah, we got we own this property. The school district does, so we can park here. So I explained all of that to them. You know, then they're parking on that side and charging people. You know, long story short, so here I am just trying to diffuse the situation and talk to the guys. I went back up front, got the two sheriff deputies who worked with us. I sent them around there. I said, there's some guys back there, they're drinking, and they're saying things to my kids. So they went around. They came back up front. My partner, Chief, she's a female. She was back there. She said, Masson, I need you back here. I said, I'll send the deputies back there. She said, no, I need a man's presence back here. So I went back there, and I made it a joke with them. See, I said, we're in competition. I try to lighten the atmosphere. You know, that's what we do, because you have to diffuse things. I said, I tell you what, you take one, and I'll take the next car, and we'll both get our money. You know, but you don't want to compete with me. So I said, that next car you can have, the car can't fit in your spot. So I said, see, they can't fit there. There's a fire hydrant there. Bottom line short, she couldn't fit there. Come on over here, lady. We got room for you. So these guys were drinking, getting drunk. They left. So at the end of the day, here it is, nightfall. I'm getting ready to lock the gates. Now everybody's gone. Just me and Chief and the one little white student I got. His parents hadn't come pick him up yet. Out of all the other kids left 4 o'clock. Here it is, close to 9. We're still waiting. But we walk, so of course I'm not gonna leave him by himself. He walks with us. And we go back. And as I lock the gate, click, you niggas, go home. See, they're back now. They left. They came back. They were intoxicated. Now they're bold. And the thing about it was there was a bunch of, and I don't know what was going on. I see things in the spirit because all the other cars had cleared out and there's nothing but a group of blacks walking down the street and they had on all black. I don't know if they were working at that stadium, but it wasn't a Caucasian other than that group from that neighborhood and a bunch of blacks. And I said, Lord, this thing could get out of hand. It can get out of hand. So I said, guys, you know, keep your comments to yourself. Don't say nothing to the white guys. I said, you know, whatever you say, you can say whatever you want to. And I told the blacks as they came down the street, disregard them. Y'all going about y'all business. And that is what happened. But look, the bottom line is this. That little white young man saw that how things are in this world. And I told him, I said, you know what? They're white racists. And they're black racists. But we just got a prime example of what goes on in our world. And I'm here to say that it's all working for our good. Because I could have been in myself and said something out of the way and it could have been a fight. But we have to learn to humble ourselves and know that we even meek. And that's what we're gonna see. And I believe that young man, he saw how we can all work together, no matter what race we are. And we all have to exemplify those traits and characteristics. So when we look at the life of Joseph, we see how his family betrayed him because God gave him a vision of the stars and the moons and told him that he would be rulers over them. And he told them these things and they were jealous about what God was going to do in his life. And we know that they threw him in the pit and they sold his coat. Where he had the coat of many colors and it was torn up. How all these things happened in his life and how after they sold him, he went into Potiphar's house and his wife lied on him. And he went to jail and nobody helped him while he was there. Nobody remembered him and how he later interpreted a dream for the Pharaoh. So today I just want to talk to you about everything that's going on in your life is working for your good. Amen. Amen. Come on. And you're going to see at the end of this story, God is going to be the one who's going to get the glory. And I want you to hear this, because no matter who you are, something's going on in your life. Any of these things could be happening in your life, but how do you handle it? How do we handle these things when they do happen? We're going to look at Joseph and find out what happens. Father, we just come to you right now, exalting, praising, and magnifying your name. Oh, Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, we come to you right now, understanding that everything that is happening in our lives is working out for our good. Because it's going to draw us nearer to you. It's going to show us how to forgive, how to love, and how to treat everybody with kindness. So, Father, with that, we just thank you. We love you, and we adore you. Because it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. If you turn to Genesis, the 50th chapter, and look at the 15th verse, it reads, it says, when Joseph, when his brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. They feared that perhaps Joseph would turn on them after Jacob, his father's death. Knowing human nature, this wasn't an unfounded concern. Now, Joseph could have easily retaliated on his brothers because of the way they had treated him. Now, you have to understand, at this point in Joseph's life, he is the prime minister. He is the second in charge in the nation. Yeah, he could have retaliated and done something to his brothers based on what they were doing to him. So we have to understand that people would treat us a certain way, and when we're elevated in God, we still treat them with loving kindness. You don't have to retaliate. You still treat them with love and appreciate who they are. The Bible says, and he may actually repay us. They thought that he was going to repay them evil, for what they had done to him. They actually believed that. And see, that's what people were looking for. But just because somebody treats you one way, you don't treat them the same way. Let God work that thing out. He'll repay evil. We don't have to worry about it. He says it in his word that vengeance is mine. So you don't have to do a thing but continue to love those people that treat you a certain way. And that goes back to what I was saying. Just because they called me a nigger, I didn't have to retaliate. I know who I am. And I'll be the first to say that we all are created equal. We all are created equal. God created all of us equal. There's no greater human being. We all are the same. And we have to understand that. So you don't have to fall to somebody's level when they call you something out your name. Because all they're trying to do is to get you to retaliate so an uproar or uprising can come. So we have to humble ourselves. So here, they freely acknowledge all the evil that they had done to him. What they worried about was justice. See, he could have had justice upon them, because of what they did to him, but he didn't. They feared righteous retribution. They feared because they were wrong, there was something that God was going to do to punish them because of what they had done, because of them being wrong. But Joseph, with his high status and prestige in Egypt, as I said, was capable of retribution towards them, but he didn't use it. And we have to learn that. As men and women of God, wherever you are in your life, you don't have to have retribution against anybody. Let God deal with them. The word even says it. Pray for those who what? And do all manner of things against you. Just pray for them. Let God deal with them. He'll take care of them. He may even change their hearts. And I truly believe that by that young man being there, it showed him something different. That we are all the same. And see, you even have to go deeper. Here we have a young man that I saw this. The only Caucasian two in my program, but he was the only one out there. Why did God have him be the one to see that? And it could have been role reversal. It could have been all whites and the blacks could have done something. Because you know me, I try to keep it even. And then he could have had some white, or it could have been white instructors with a black kid. And blacks could have been doing something to the whites. But we have to keep a level head and continue to focus on God with everything that we do in life. Amen. So we don't have to have retribution against anyone. The Bible goes on in verses 16 and 18 and say that, so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, what did he say? Please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sins. See, his father gave him some great knowledge and wisdom. He said, no matter what they did to you, you still, son, need to forgive them. So that is what we are to teach our kids. We teach our kids and our relatives and our loved ones to forgive people despite whatever they do to you. We know that if we don't forgive, God isn't going to forgive us our trespasses. So you have to forgive other people even before he'll forgive you. And if you don't forgive, he's not going to forgive you. So we teach this to our kids. And that is what Jacob taught Joseph. He said, forgive your brothers. He sent the message, forgive them for what they have done to you. He says, because for they did evil to you, now, please forgive their trespasses of the servants of the God of your fathers. And what did Joseph do? The Bible says that he wept. He wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also, what did they do? They fell down and begin to worship him. Now, if I were to look at Jesus' life and the way that he was treated, the Father, see, watch this. God told Jesus to forgive his brothers, his servants. And as he forgave every last one of us, you see it? As he forgave us, we are to do what? Bow down and worship him. Because that's what his brothers did. At the beginning, even when you go back, and I mentioned it, then early in the text it says that Joseph told them that one day, y'all are going to bow down and worship me. And it just happened. It came to pass. And then all it does is it typifies what we're to do with Jesus. It's a story. If you read Joseph's life, it's an example in the Old Testament of what's to come in Jesus' life. Because the Bible, even with Joseph, guess what? Out of all the people in the Bible, I know that Joseph's not sinless like Jesus, but there's no example of him sinning. But they fell down, the Bible says, and they worshiped him. And they said, behold, we are your servants. How many of your God's servants? Come on, let's just worship him for a minute, if you don't mind. Just give him some praise for who he is in your life. Now, Joseph is going to comfort his brothers at this point. So in verses 19 through 21, it reads, it says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Now, this is where it's going to change, because he said, I'm not God. All right? For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. You meant evil against me, and I know that. And you know when people mean evil for you. We know that. But God. But God meant it for my good. In order to bring it about as it is this day. Why? To save many people alive. Now, therefore, he says, don't you be afraid. I will provide for you and your little one. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph said, am I in this place? Or am I in this place? Joseph first understood, watch this, he was not in the place of God. Remember I said he was light, but he wasn't. He's not Christ, but he's light. And that's what this story is saying. I'm like him as in this story, but I'm not him. See, we strive to be like him, but we're not him. It wasn't his job to bring retribution upon his brothers. If the Lord chose to do it, he would have to find another instrument than Joseph. And he didn't. See, God can choose to bring retribution against people who are doing things to us. But in this case, he says, Joseph would not be the one to bring retribution, punishment, retribution for their wrong. So, from a human perspective, Joseph had the right and the ability to bring retribution upon his brothers. But he knew God was God and he was not. God was God and he was not. But he said, as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for my good. Joseph did not romanticize the wrong his brothers did. He plainly declared, you meant evil against me. And although this was true, because it was true, they did. It was not the greatest truth.
They meant evil for him, but the bottom line is God meant it for his good. So whatever's going on in your life, no matter how somebody's treating you, no matter what they're doing to you, and it may be evil, it may be wrong, but God is going to turn it around for your good. We have to let that old man pass away. The old man. If we want to be like Christ. You see? Because a lot of things happen to Christ in his life. And he said, that's petty. And that's what I'm trying to teach our young people. That's what we have to try to teach them. No matter what color their race is. So, understanding that every Christian should be able to see the overarching and overruling hand of God in your life, to know that no matter what evil man brings against us, God can always use it for our good. And I saw some good out of that situation. So out of every situation in your life, ultimately, our lives are not in the hand of men, but it's in the hand of God, who overrules all things for his glory. And why did he do it? Why did he do this in Joseph's life? Why did he do it in your life? Why did he do it in my life? See, it's not about us. He said he did all of this so that a nation could be saved.
That's right.
You see, in Joseph's life, a nation will be saved. Yeah. But in Christ's life, all people will be saved.
Yeah. That's the difference. Wow.
So in our lives, people can be saved. As we emulate who Christ is. As we follow after who Christ really is. This was the immediate good in the situation. If this large family did not come to Egypt, and live, it would have perished in this family. It would have perished in this family. Had the family barely survived, it would have assimilated into the Canaanite tribes surrounding it. Mm-hmm.
So somebody in there got to bring that family out. So only by coming to Egypt could they be preserved and grow into a distinct nation. Now, check this out. As said before, if Joseph's brothers never sell him to the Midianites, then Joseph never goes to Egypt. If Joseph never goes to Egypt, he never is sold to Potiphar. If he is never sold to Potiphar, Potiphar's wife never falsely accuses him of rape. If Potiphar's wife never falsely accuses him of rape, then he is never put in prison. If he is never put in prison, he never meets the baker and the butcher of Pharaoh. And if he never meets the baker and the butcher of Pharaoh, he never interprets the dream. If he never interprets their dreams, he never gets to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. If he never gets to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, he never is made prime minister. If he is never made prime minister, he never wisely administrates for the severe famine coming upon the region. If he never wisely administrates for the severe famine coming upon the region, then his family back in Canaan perishes from the famine. If his family back in Canaan perishes from the famine, then the Messiah, trusting in him and trusting in who he really is.
Right.
So all the evil that we see, those people don't know God.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
And if there's anybody in here who don't love people, they don't love God.
Right.
If there's anyone anywhere who don't love God's people, they don't love God.
Right. That's right.
Joseph's love for his brothers was shown not only in feelings and words, but also in practical actions. He actually did provide for his brothers and for his family. So we know, Romans 8:28, and I'll say it again because it ties in with this.
We are assured. This is the Amplified version. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, in our labor, all things work together and are fitting into the plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design.
Amen.
According to his plan.
That's right.
And Jesus demonstrated